Welcome.
Welcome.
Matt Howie.
Welcome.
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
Hi, this is Post 72 of the Metafilter Podcast. We're sorry we haven't done more of these, but clearly it's incredibly difficult for us.
Wow, four podcasts all year. And it's
I blame you.
We got to step this up.
It's completely my fault. All right.
Although I have to admit, this is because we're all getting better about taking vacations, so it's like good news, bad news.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a dark lining on a silver cloud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Silver clouds. So, let's see, we will, I guess, eventually work up to our very, very favoritest best post. I think we all have our own personal favorites. I have dozens here marked and all for different reasons, but...
Well, and how long have we been doing? People have pointed out that we haven't actually been doing what the August... Matt, maybe you'd like to share a little history of the best post contests that we've done.
Well, it's the first one in 2006. So that was December. So I think we started doing them in December every year because, I don't know, it was we were bored. There isn't a lot of...
Well, and people get cranky around the holiday season, and we wanted to have something people could focus on besides fighting about the holidays and being stuck with their families.
Yeah, definitely.
If you don't like that kind of thing.
Yeah, we noticed a high correlation of Thanksgiving and Christmas vacations and... Ask Metafilter crazy questions about hating their family and just overall site tomfoolery, like being on rampant during those periods. So, yeah, it was a good idea to, like, channel some of that angst into, you know, searching the web for interesting stuff. And I think, like, December, people are out. They're always away on Christmas parties and having, like, you know, Metafilter's, I think, overall quality kind of goes down because people are out running around doing stuff so much. So, yeah. Thought it was pretty cool to do this in the summer. You know, we kind of have a lull and everyone's off in August. So same deal. And yeah, it looks like we've done a few Decembers. I think we've only had one or two in August.
Yeah, there was some specific one that happened in August that was like, I think it was a slightly different format or something. But
yeah. Wow, look at all these. They all have different formats. Just top three, top three formats, top, like, yeah. So
we're not super organized. Maybe you've gotten that idea.
Well, I like to think that we're just flexible.
And
we're
by
not,
we, I mostly
tied.
Mean you guys, because I'm really organized. and it pains me to look at my Google Doc.
Yeah, but you didn't organize it. I mean, I didn't even, define, like, specifically besides just go out there and make great posts, people. Like, there's not a big ton of, you know, we're going to do this,
loosey,
that,
goosey.
Yeah, so I think that we'll probably just do a top three. And I think we all have personal favorites. I've got the same categories, you know, lots of them. Like, best bike-related post, best Olympics post, yeah.
I have a best library post and a best Olympics post and a second best Olympics post, the silver Olympics post.
I think the Olympics posts were good. There were lots of them, but because we didn't really focus on... Nobody made posts about specific results or anything. There wasn't like, oh, my God, Bolt wins the 100-meter... Like, there's nothing like that. It was like, hey, look at the science of sprinting. Like, those are way cooler.
Yeah, well, maybe we could start out talking about Olympic posts, because I definitely have a couple. Josh, do you have any?
I don't know if I have any specific Olympics posts. I sort of enjoyed the fact that there was coverage, but yeah. So, no.
I enjoyed both the fact that there was coverage and that nobody lost their shit as they have in previous years. I think it's because we all sort of hated NBC together as a country, not even as a country, as a world, you know? But, I mean, the Americans got together and hated NBC, and everybody else got to be like, no, see, we really are better than America. And, you know, everybody just sort of felt good about the whole thing, and it worked out pretty okay, I felt like.
Yeah, it was a nice sort of, yeah, I concur. I concur with your analysis.
I think maybe if it was in America and we had the results first, maybe like the majority of site users would have been posting that stuff and ruining it for everyone else. But being on the wrong side of that was great.
Well, and this was sort of, I felt, I don't know about you guys, but I felt this was like tipping point year where even if you were paying attention to the Olympics, it was completely unclear how you were going to get your information about the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, I think most people who really cared about it weren't sitting around waiting till NBC's broadcast. They were, you know, streaming or downloading it from somewhere else, or they were, like, just reading the BBC online, or who knows what they were doing.
Yeah, the live blog The Guardian was doing was fantastic. It usually is whenever they're doing that. But, that was my primary resource for Olympic stuff was just their daily live blog as it went snarking along.
Yeah, I went to like the Olympics website a lot, or I read like other blogs that talked about that kind of stuff. Like, I'm, you know, sort of not, I don't care about spoilers, and so I'd be like, tell me who wins so I know whether to stay up till 11 o'clock at night to see the thing or not.
See, were you able to watch it in any decent way? I guess the thing is, I don't have like even local reception set up. Like, I don't get like over the air TV. You know, so everything we watch is like, you know, either like Netflix or streaming on the internet. And that was such a pain in the ass.
Kind of in a stolen way.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. Like, I got some jackass, like, rebroadcast of BBC Two via some totally sketchy site, but it reliably worked. You know.
Right. Yeah, me too. I wrote a big post about, like, on my own blog about how to watch the Olympics if you're getting thwarted by this, that, or the other. And I used, in fact, a lot of Ask Metafilter threads because there were a lot of people from different parts of the country. Like, You know, like, I'm in Africa and I want to watch this, but blah. Or I'm in America and I want to watch this. Or I'm actually in, you know, Scotland and I have these needs. And so there were a lot of good Ask Metafilter threads that helped me inform other people. But, yeah, I had some BBC feed from some crazy janky whatever that like worked most of the time.
Yeah, I actually got the NBC like iPad app stuff to work, which is surprising because my there's your guide. I was surprised because like HBO to go doesn't work because my cable company they have to like pay for it or something. So I was surprised that I could get NBC and I got, it's so, you have to jump through 5 hoops and create accounts on both sites and then link them together and it's terrible. Ugh. But I mean, I got to the point where I was watching, like, I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning to watch a bike race, you know, with no commentary whatsoever, just raw audio.
Well, and that's the best part, yeah. Right? Like, just make Bob Costas shut up.
Yep. And they always, yeah, and I have to suffer in cycling with this guy, L. Troutwig, who I think does, like, football.
Come on, that's the best name ever.
I know. I think he does football stuff. He doesn't know a thing about cycling, and they always put him on because he sounds like a normal announcer guy, and he's always clueless. He's like the Fred Willard, like, tell me exactly what's going on here. Like, and you're, God,
right.
Shut up, man. So, yeah.
That
actually
means like Fred Willard in the movie Dodgeball.
What's the
before I got caught wanking off in the movie theater?
Best in Show.
Oh, Best in Show. And then he was also on Dodgeball, right?
I don't think
no.
so.
I've repressed most of my memories of Dodgeball. I thought that was terrible.
That movie was awesome.
It was. It had pieces that were funny,
yeah.
And it had the potential to be funny. But it was like the perfect example of, I feel like, someone fucking up an otherwise promising screwball comedy by just like hitting the notes exactly wrong every time. It's like someone playing like with one string on their guitar, like, you know, just enough out of tune that you can tell that if they knew how to tune their guitar, it would have been like, that'd be a great song. But instead, it sounds like shit, and you're like, oh, fucking stop. And so I have feelings about that movie, I guess.
I feel that way about Super Troopers, too, so I totally hear what you're saying.
Remember the Olympics? So,
Remember Metafilter?
What was your favorite post, Jessamine, of the Olympics?
Oh, well, you know, I had two that I liked very much. There was the one that was super popular on the site, which was basically, hey, you can figure out what kind of athlete you look like, which was super interesting.
Yeah, you put in your height and weight, and I think I got a rower guy or something for me.
Yeah, I let me do it again because I don't remember what I got.
It's good because,
I'm most like the Indonesian weightlifting men.
Well, you know.
I don't know, man. It's weird.
Is that a compliment?
I don't know. He looks handsome. But, yeah, you know, with somebody who's like my short stature, but I'm not skinny like a gymnast. Yeah, I'm down with the weightlifters.
I'm most like Thomas Schneider, who's from Germany and whose sport is athletics. What I feel ripped off.
All of them.
Athletics? Yeah, that's. Oh, he does relay running, 4x400. Okay.
Oh, wow, that's
yeah, the
fair.
Micronesian weightlifter is down with me, but it was one of those like fun threads just because everybody's got something to say.
Yeah.
But because you're talking about athletes, there's not a lot of weird body image stuff, and people are like, dressage, what the rrr? And I enjoyed that as a thread for like people talking about stuff. But then my favorite probably post, which would have been my favorite single link post, except there's a second link stuck in there, and we know how that goes.
Flexibility, you know, it's a little bit interpretive.
Thanks, Josh. Thank you. Yeah, it was just talking about Speedo. I mean, there were a lot of interesting kind of marketing press releases that turned into kind of stories about the Olympics. You know, Nike had their crazy
shoes.
Yellow shoes and whatever. But so, you know, Speedo basically had this amazing swimsuit, and everybody shaved time off their time, and then they made it illegal because it was too fast. I mean, it's like the history of the golf ball, where it's like you have to make it kind of fast, but not too fast. The item itself is part of.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of constraint there where refining it is okay, but completely like fucking the assumptions of the game is not so okay, because then everybody's upset that, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Your ball is winning your golf game.
And I, of course, thought it was interesting because if you're one of those people that just, like, watches the Olympics for the TNA factor, like, the dudes are wearing, like, nothing, and the women are wearing these, like, things, you know, the fast skin. Like, they're the most dressed people in the entire Olympics. So I was
it was like a wetsuit almost, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was an interesting, just, I liked the link. And, of course, you know, people talked about the stuff. Oh, but go on with the ones you liked. And then there was one more that I liked, but I have to find it because I didn't write it down.
That post could also have been, like, you know, best post to have 6 different comments deleted from the beginning of the thread mentioning what the actual link should be because it was broken originally. But that's like an admin-only category because other people can't see this giant swath of devastation that is the beginning of that thread.
Right.
I like this... post on the physics of Olympic stuff done by the Wired science, you know, Wired blog did a whole bunch of like sports science stuff, which I thought was pretty cool. I thought this post also had the New York Times stuff, but I don't think it does. Like, I love the New York Times visualizations. I don't think they showed up in an Olympics post. Probably his comments on this one. Yeah, just really cool. Like, hey, in the same vein of, like, let's not talk about actual results on the site. Let's look at the bigger picture. I thought there's lots of cool stuff on the web about this. And this one.
Yeah, just as an entertainment event, the Olympics were interesting in their own right, in addition to being sort of a sporting competition. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, and I love that they're going after the science of it. Because I don't know if you guys noticed, did you see any track and field? Like, you know, you know, the hammer throw is done. You spin, you throw. It's crazy. Yeah.
Sure.
They're starting to do. Did you see shot put? Like,
yep.
There's now a break in shot put, which is like, do you do it the old way or do you do it the new hammer way where you spin like 6 times and like your window of success is so narrow to like you have to release at the right time. And it's really cool how, you know, people can start looking at like, is it really better? Because their results were pretty similar.
It just sort of schism. Yeah, and yet you have people who are like, look, the math implies that, blah. I mean, you know, I just look at the pole vault and I'm like, I don't know how anybody can ever even do this. So I'm continually impressed by everything. But yeah, remember, I don't know if it was 4 years ago or 8 years ago when all the backstroke guys and ladies, I guess, like started out and did their entire first lap pretty much underwater. And it was like a new thing, and people were like, what? Instead of actually backstroking the first lap.
Yeah.
And that was another one of those things.
In the turnaround change, now the turnaround change is like mandatory. Like, you're supposed to go, like, they do a quarter of the pool after they turn around on the walls, and that's completely, like, okay and expected now. It's so crazy.
Right.
Yeah, it looks weird. My other one, this is stupid, and yeah, sorry, body issues and all that, but I thought this was funny.
I enjoyed this.
What if every Olympic sport was photographed like a beach volley. I swear to God, every newspaper site in August, the infection of the web with those like related stories that aren't really related at all.
Yep.
With a little thumbnail. It was always a woman's butt from volleyball, and every newspaper, it could be the New York Times, it could be the whatever, Providence Journal, like local newspapers, they always had a woman's butt, and it said like the hottest bikini pics, you know, from beach volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just
right.
It was like cool for the first day as a dude, but like, geez, it was like demeaning and stupid. For it's unbelievable. It's just like so over the top. So it was funny to see someone like tweeted this to me, and it showed up on Metafilter, and yeah, it like took off really quick because yeah, pointing out the and how inane this practice is. I think it was just all like just a cheap ploy for page views from every publication.
It's obvious. Yeah, it's, you can get away with it because it's like topical and whatnot. And yeah, although I have to say the wrestling pics pretty much look like wrestling pics. It's still some guy sticking his head in some of the guy's crotch and they're both grimacing. I mean, it's. That's what wrestling photography looks like. There's nothing else going on. I did see one of those like cheap, like skeezy, related on other websites, little collections of square pictures and links things that had a picture of a woman in a thong, or you know, volleyball bikini bottom,
or sporting outfit,
you know, yeah,
right.
Quote unquote, whatever. And then it just had the word waffles, and I didn't know what was going on there, but yeah, okay. I dug deep here. Actually, I said I didn't have Olympics post, but it turns out that I do have what I'm going to declare to be an Olympics post.
Fair enough.
We all know how much
I
enjoy.
You would pick this. I think next year we have to like pick the ones that we think our colleagues are going to pick. This was an awesome post. Go on, Josh.
That would be an awesome thing to do. We should do that. I feel like we sort of informally did that a little bit last year, but just live. But yes, so everybody knows that I love Quap because Quap is the best video game ever made.
Can you just tell people briefly what Quap is for those of us who may not?
Yes, Quap is a track and field video game wherein you control both the calf and the thigh muscles of each of the legs of your runner dude, and your job is to try and run 100 meters as quickly as possible.
Is it really like the muscles, or are you really just controlling kind of the general areas? Like, well, does it claim to have anything to do with muscles?
It's. I mean, that's what your muscles are doing, is like expanding and contracting along those two major muscle groups. So you could argue that it's not super scientific, I'm sure. It's all just inverse kinematics.
Well,
but that's the idea,
yeah.
Yeah, Q and W and O and P are the two letters you press on either side to control either.
Oh, God, I've tried to play it, I know.
Yeah, so Quap. Yeah, so people mostly fall over in it. But anyway, the Bennett Foddy, the guy who made it, he then recently made a game called Klop, which is basically Quap, but you're controlling all four legs of a unicorn, and it's great because it's just like Quap, and so nobody
impossible.
Made a post about it. That is the user Nobody. A post was made by a man named Nobody, and yeah, and it was before the Olympics technically, but I think it's pretty much dressage. So as I understand it.
Sure, that's a connection.
It beats Mitt Romney's wife doing that thing. They're their horse.
Exactly. Take it, Rafalka.
Other good posts. Do you have
can
any
we
favorite?
Move on? Can we move on from Olympics now?
Yes,
I think we can.
Let's move on to, I don't know, YouTube posts. Maybe there's so many.
I don't have a single one.
I've got one that is YouTubey.
All right, go on, you guys.
Which I made up categories for all of these that are all too long-winded because I couldn't come up with short, clever ones. So this one is the winner for best post about Scotch, and it's actually even really a good post that I'm not just mentioning because it's about Scotch, which is the post about Ralphie's YouTube channel by user VeryApe. And Ralphie is just a nice gentleman from Scotland who likes the Scotch whiskey and does very charming little sort of, you know, lo-fi amateur videos talking about Scotch and, you know, how to smell it, how to taste it, how it gets made, distillery tools and whatnot. So it was just a nice, this is one of those posts that was like a bunch of links that were all just links to specific content from the same source. So it's like that whole, is it a single link or is it a multi-link
62
dilemma.
Favorites, 18 comments.
Yeah.
Great.
Wow.
Yay,
it's like, yeah,
it's
a ton of content to watch, but like, you know, it's like you can watch and say, hey, that was
and
that
he
was
just
nice.
Records himself like talking it through and making it. That's yep. Funny.
Yeah, no, and it's really nice. So yeah, if you're interested in Scotch or interested in booze, it's fun stuff to watch. So yeah, I liked that one. That's my YouTube-y post.
My favorite.
Thanks. That was when I was on vacation.
My favorite YouTube post was the games we play video, just because this is one of those things where something you do your whole life until someone mentions it, you don't realize anyone else does it, but, you know.
I loved this post.
I loved everything about this post, because every time I would be a passenger in a car, probably up until several weeks ago, I would just constantly, like, look at shadows and be jumping from shadow to shadow as if, yeah, I was, like, there's so many things in this video that I was like, I've done that my whole life. Like, yep. I had no idea other people did that.
This is great. This totally happened while I was away, and I did not see this at all. Wonderful.
Yep, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, we had to, like, hold our breath over the bridge and went by the cemetery, and... What? It's the law!
Yeah, I've heard these things. That's awesome.
Well, because we went on a lot of car trips, and we were just, like, stuck in the back with auto bingo. And if you didn't make your own fun, like...
Yep. Yeah, you kind of had to
keep
yourself
sane. And
the rule
was, be quiet. Be quiet. Dad's driving, or mom's driving, or whoever was driving. And so, yeah.
There was the Baby Got Back supercut. That was pretty good.
Did not see that at all. Link, please.
Yes. Wait. I actually got the wrong link. Cold Chef posted that. But my favorite remixy YouTube was the song made
Gautier!
From...
Gautier! No?
No, the song made from...
shut up! That one was great! You shut up too, John.
No, that was, it was great. That's the same one I was thinking of. I just,
the Breaking Bad remix was incredible because the music actually comes out awesome. It's someone basically cutting up the first two seasons of Breaking Bad.
See, I didn't want to
look because
I'm still...
I haven't seen Breaking Bad yet, so
yeah,
I couldn't see this because of spoilers.
Exactly. Yeah,
I
had the same problem.
I mean, there's kind of spoilers. There's just funny phrases you'll hear, I guess, but there's no, like, plot points in that, but... Yeah.
NetBro said maybe spoilers.
Maybe, I guess, but that's a stretch.
I'm just better safe than sorrying it. I'm really enjoying, we're actually sort of digging into Breaking Bad right now, and so we're in the middle of the second season, and so I'm, like, I kind of take it as a given that I'm going to get spoiled on a lot of stuff just by virtue of not being able to avoid threads if they get flagged. Mm-hmm. But this one, so far, I've been pretty good about. So, yeah, I just stayed away from that because I didn't want to accidentally plant a little seed. Because the worst thing is, like, it's not even just, like, it's bad enough when you find out that, you know, Snape kills Dumbledore or whatever, but, like, yeah, when you find out some... Oh, shut up. When you find out some little detail, it's not even super important, but you can divine from the fact that that detail does not match up with what you know so far, that that's going to come in somewhere. And then you end up just watching
for
that. Yeah, you're like, where's that moment? Yeah, so it's like I try and avoid even the little things if I'm actually trying to not get spoiled on something, because that drives me crazy. Or, yeah, you know, okay, this is totally nothing to do with anything, but that reminds
That's
me of
fine.
This. I saw the David Lynch version of Dune when I was pretty young, probably like, you know, 8 or 9 the first time I saw it. And then I saw it again years later and was waiting for a couple of scenes that just didn't happen. And I didn't realize that there had been a different cut of the film at the time. And so I spent entire film waiting for a couple of moments that I was like, but wait, how can that happen? It should have happened before. You know, it's that same phenomenon. That
horrible.
You
yeah.
get primed for something. And it's like, don't think of an elephant. You know, it's... Life is hard.
So, yeah, I guess I do have a single link YouTube post because I liked that Gautier post, which was basically everybody who does somebody I used to know, and they make their own versions. And then Gautier made a mashup, including all these different versions of it that are on YouTube, into his own kind of mega mashup. And it was just, I don't know. There was a lot of people in the thread who were like, wow, Gautier, who knew he was more than a one-hit wonder? And then there's a whole bunch of people who are like, everybody? Everybody. So it was a nice meeting of, like, Gautier fans and people who only know that one song talking about it. And then Rory Marinich talks at length about something, and then I tuned out.
Sweet. I noticed a trend of 5 or 6 MeFi project posts that got promoted to Metafilter. My favorite of all of them, there was a couple good ones. My favorite was Misattribution. I don't know if you saw this. It's basically a...
Oh, yeah.
Oops, I linked to the project's version of it instead of...
Hey, it's Quinn!
But it's hilarious posts of just famous old people the misattributed...
And posted by David J. McGee, two of my favorites, working together.
Yeah,
that's great.
Hilarious. They're just... Oh, they're good. They're just goofy quotes from movies and pop culture attributed to famous historical figures. It was very good.
Bunny, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street. Gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face. You big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. President Abraham Lincoln.
Please help me, Custer. It's a good thread. It's a very good thread.
Yeah, that was a good one. How about your... Do you guys have any favorites in that regard?
I don't know if I had any projects that got... I've got one. I'm going to call this technically, because I don't think it ever ended up on projects, but it should have been, but it wasn't.
Wait,
so
what?
I just straight posted it.
Is this
it.
The Language Hat one?
No. This is Shrimp, which is like shrimp, but with an N instead of an M, and I don't know why. But this was made
by... It just has an M in the... It says M. Shrimp.
Yeah, well, that's the title, because I was being silly. But yeah, that was by thing designed
Wait,
by 3121.
Wait, this is your own post?
It is, and so we don't even need to have the discussion about how it can't win, even though it's clearly the best single link post of the month. We'll just let that go by because we're all adults here. But
you've been horrible ever since you cut your hair.
Only since then. But it's great. It's just it's a dumb website that, like, you go to shrimp.com/nice. Anything you want to type in, and then if it has it cached already, something for that, it'll show you an image and the word you put over it, kind of like You're the Man Now, Dog, but even lower tech. If it doesn't have it in its database, it'll go and do, like, a Google I Feel Lucky image search, and just whatever the image it pulls up will be whatever it shows on there. And so it's, like, you know, potentially completely not safe for work if it happens to grab a random image and it doesn't do anything except for what it does. And it's just, it's great. It's like reading tea leaves, except for with an image search engine instead of tea leaves, I guess.
I don't even understand how it gets this one for Matt.
What?
Let
me see. I saw the Cortex one.
You may have, like,
I tweeted that
or something. Yeah,
I tweeted that. So I tweeted that as, like, an awesome thing someone did. Like,
and the best part is
2.0.
Shrimp actually refreshes stuff every 24 hours. So what we're discussing now probably won't even be what comes up for that when people click on the
and
link.
So then, wait, remind me, it came from somebody in projects, or it should be a project because linked to it?
No, it should be projects
because
it's a great project by a Mephite. Yeah, it's a user.
Oh, who's the...
3-1-D-1. Although technically,
nice.
At this point, I think his active account is the one that's ASCII art of two turntables and a microphone. But I don't know how to say that other than that, so I just called him. You know.
It's not the one that looks like boobs, though, is it?
No, they'd be very square boobs. No, this isn't the boobs guy.
Okay. Oh, that's what that is?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's a little DJ setup.
Nice.
So anyway, I liked that. And that's kind of a projects post, sort of.
Cool. One more that I liked, which kind of moves towards the slightly more links, because this one has two, if you don't include the VIA one, which it doesn't really fit in any other category, except that I felt that it perfectly typified the nifty thing you found on the internet that someone might not have seen that would encourage discussion from other people. Was the Earth Sciences and Art Department, who they melted basalt and they make their own lava flows.
Huh.
Whoa.
And so the web page has pictures of the lava flows that they're making, and there's some videos. And it was like totally like 8 comments, 9 favorites, completely awesome post as far as I was concerned personally from Moon Milk.
Yeah, I totally didn't even see that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now we will stare at basalt. Right.
Sorry, guys.
I can't get the Earth magazine site to load. What?
Yeah, I couldn't get it to load today either, but you can trust me, it's great.
Oh, as I was going through all the links over the weekend, I could not believe how much link rot happens within 4 weeks to posts.
I know.
Like, it's there must have been 4 or 5, like, credibly good posts that just were dead. And lots of them were, like, videos where someone just took the video down. And, like, it wasn't a copyright issue. It was more, like, I don't know, embarrassment or something.
Yeah. Oh, the internet's looking at me, so forget it.
Oh, 10,000 of the internet is looking at me. I need to drop this immediately.
See, and I'm wondering if, like, phenomenon-wise, if that's something that we're going to see less of as people become more savvy about the potential of visibility, or we're going to see more of as people become more casual about that idea that they can be like, oh, I was posting this, but
I can just take it down anytime.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Like those kids from fucking Tumblr who were writing us contact form email demanding that we take down the post that linked to their Tumblr blog because we had not, you know, received permission to link to it. It was like...
Do you understand how the internet works, kids?
I never got any response from either of the ones who we responded to. I didn't respond to the one who said, please read, fuck you, XOXO. So I don't know if they would have responded if I inquired. But the other two, I wrote back very straight face and said, well, no, that's not really how it works. But can you explain, you know,
why you need the link to your Tumblr?
Can you elaborate on what the issue is and we can talk about it? And they just never heard
that. That was a very, like, cam girls, you know.
Yeah.
Suddenly I feel like that's, discovering us. That was awesome.
That's why we have closed signups. That's why you have to pay your $5 so we don't get cam girls 2.0 from some angry Tumblr tweens.
Yeah.
Because that's the best part is they probably didn't have a credit card, so they couldn't have signed up even if they were willing to part with the $5. So, you know, it worked out okay.
Right up there with the guy who asked if we could accept payment in Bitcoin.
I can't believe you said no.
Hear Matt laugh in real life because his email said, ha, 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 but.
I can't believe you said no. You should have gone for that. Like, I mean, you
wouldn't
be able to use it for anything.
No, I just said not real. I didn't even understand the question.
Well, it's like, you essentially send somebody some bits. Like you transfer it to their wallet.
It supposedly took a long time to generate on their processor, so you can't make money, really.
Yeah.
That's such bullshit.
It's a whole rabbit hole we should, not go
down. It never really took off, though, right? And we can't accept Bitcoin because we don't have a wallet. I'd have to have my own wallet.
Yeah, well, it'd be relatively trivial to accept it. It's just, what do you do with it at
that point?
Because it's so fucking stupid.
You could set up a Bitcoin wallet faster and easier than you could set up a PayPal account. The only problem is the thing inside of it will be stupid because you'll never be able to spend it anywhere. Except for on, Alpaca
wool socks. Oh, you can buy computer parts. And
maybe,
God. I'm waiting for Ron Paul to want to change to the Bitcoin standard.
There's a real room for synergy there.
Yeah, totally.
I have this post that I liked that was just a couple links and included actually a languagehat.com link. Which was the post on the etymology of fart. This is my pick for the best post about farts by the man of twists and turns. And it's, looking at...
history of farts.
Yep.
Sweet.
Tracking it back to the ages, how we came to this word, what it meant before it meant farting, stuff like that.
There have been three fart posts about farts this year, and then prior to that, there wasn't one since March 2008. How is that possible?
Obama ruined it for the fart industry. He regulated farts.
For the flatulent.
3.5 years of silent but deadly. I don't know. The one actual Tumblr post, Tumblr blog I liked was the dog shaming one.
I eat lizard bits.
But I would have to say the boyfriend shaming one was funnier if you saw that.
Wait. Send me a link.
Yeah, I think
it was on Facebook or Milkshake.
I saw the one picture on Milkshake, but it's not a whole blog, is it?
No,
or is it?
But I thought it was a funnier use of the concept. Wow, it's the top result, that one single picture on Milkshake.
It was like I ate the creme brulee that my girlfriend... I ate all the bread pudding my girlfriend made for a dinner party tonight.
Yeah, this is like so much better than the dog shaming because, it's funny as shit.
I thought the dog shaming was like... Some of the dog shaming stuff was great. Like, I thought it was like really right on. And then some of it was people who were like...
Clearly had issues.
Yeah, like people who were maybe kind of having difficulty dealing with the fact that they owned a pet or taking out their rage on their pet passive-aggressively, or people who, like, couldn't bring themselves to actually shame their dog, so, like, they would shame them by saying, I am the cutest little, you know, it's like, that's not, no, just don't even show up if you're going to just say your dog is cute. That's dumb.
Right, you need a couple parts. The dog has to be making some suitably ashamed face. They need to have actually done something that's totally normal for dogs, but is slightly weird in the dog people interaction.
Exactly. I feel like it was uneven because some people really got it, some people seemed like they didn't so much. But
cat shaming is confusing in that regard because there's too many people that seem to not quite get it. But I'm looking forward to the expansion of the shaming meme because I do I have enjoyed dog shaming in the past. Thank you, E-Lizard Bits, for sharing it with my filter. Well, if we're going to talk about farts, I'm going to talk about libraries.
Okay.
This post by Catch was basically a just sort of library porn thing, talking about the library of the Abbey of St. Gall, whole bunch of manuscripts, libraries open to the public. They've got a whole bunch of codices, and they are available online, and they are beautiful.
What's a codice again?
It's just a collection.
Fred Willard of this program. And what exactly is a codice again?
A codex.
Well, a codice is, yeah.
It's just a collection? Fancy word. They have e-codices.
I'm going to actually look it up so that I don't step on my own.
Burn bibliotheque.
Define codice.
Burger bibliotheque. Ooh, burger is better.
Books made of handmade paper.
Oh.
So early manuscripts that are sort of head together, basically after scrolls, after wax tablets, a collection of pieces of paper with stuff on them was a codice or a codex for more of them. I should really know this because my Puzzle Hunt team was called Codex, but I'm just not so bright this summer. So.
Well, yeah, it's one of those awesome, you know, X words. So it's like codex singular, codices plural, like right. Index, indices, you know, that's the
agreed.
Pattern.
Love it. Love it. But there's just a lot of like beautiful old pages of books that have been scanned and that you can look at, and they are lovely. And, you know, as much as this post does seem slightly like pandering, because I'm such an easy mark, right?
Jessamine,
she loves books. Here's a pretty book. She'll love this.
Oh, I can't believe we haven't heard. There was like a roguelike, like there's a few game posts. I was like, this is total Josh bait.
I've got a couple game. I've got at least one game thing.
You fell into
but not a
net.
Ton. Not a ton,
that's
actually. They didn't, like, I liked them, but they didn't, like, nothing grabbed my face so much.
But,
for
like,
the most
look
part
how pretty that book is. It's from the second, third of the ninth century. The ninth fucking century.
It's pretty badass.
It is.
Wow, it reminds me
of the Codex Serafina thing, which still hasn't, like, gotten a proper, like, you know, mass printing. But that was the weird art.
Serafinianus?
Yeah.
Is that the one you mean?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the one with the completely bizarre, is it even a language, or is it just a language like scribbling annotation along with the illustrations?
Or are you talking about the Codex? The Codex Serafinianus was one that was an illustrated encyclopedia. I think you're talking about the Voynich manuscript.
No, I think I'm talking about the Serafinianus. Because, yeah, it was like an illustrated, like... it was full
check
of pictures
that.
And writing, but the writing wasn't writing. It was just like a weird fake script, but then it had illustrations of a variety of weird, surreal things in it.
Right. Well, check the link that I just...
it's from 1981. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the one. Yeah.
Okay,
because I thought you might be talking about this one, which I often felt that it was sort of a play on words. Not a play on words, but like was a real thing that's slightly older.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot older. But so this thing is like a real thing, and people are like, oh, it's a hoax document. Whereas Serafinianus is just supposed to be cool and weird.
Yeah, like it was explicitly somebody's art project.
Right, whereas the Voynich manuscript, nobody's really sure. You know, they're fairly certain that it's a hoax. They have lots of theories. I actually went and got to see it at Yale. You can go look at it.
Nice.
Yeah, they'll show it to you.
There was something recently about, like, I don't remember. It may have been a post just bringing the things together or an essay somewhere, but it's like the Voynich manuscript and, I can't remember the Kubrick obsessed tile work, the mosaic stuff, the Toynbee tiles, something about juxtaposing that with a Voynich manuscript, maybe just in terms of weird, what is even going on here? Is this outsider art or outsider, you know, documentarianism from someone living in a slightly different universe? But,
you know, that's always like the super complicated question, right? Like, is this like strange and weird and interesting, or is it just kind of a crazy person and,
Yeah, and how do you navigate
that? I don't know
anything
about the Toynbee tiles. This is great.
Yeah, Toynbee tiles is a, like, I was aware of that because of, you know, big Kubrick friend growing up. And so, but hey, if we want to talk about complicated things where it's hard to sort out sort of like the art versus just the weird behavior thing, my post for the best post that turned into sort of a complicated mess and generated a meta talk and a couple timeouts for the guy it was about and highlighted the weird difficulties that come into dealing with mental illness as part of the holistic experience of web community interactions was the lose those post that DMD made about the
that's how you
system.
Pronounce that?
Well, it came up in the thread, and someone was like, "What's with the name?" And he was like, "Oh, the name was terrible. I was thinking about Windows, and I was like, well, the Windows lose those, you know." And it was terrible.
Oh, brilliant! Okay, so, thanks.
So yeah, it was some random thought he had that, in retrospect, he seems to think was kind of a dumb name, but that's true for most operating systems. So, but anyway, that was all really.
You
want to
give
of,
a little arc about how this all happened
yeah.
and.
So the operating system, this guy named Terry Davis wrote this operating system as sort of a hobby operating system to be kind of like a Commodore 64 programming environment, but for modern hardware. So you could, you know, use the power of an actual, you know, contemporary computer, but have that sort of programming, experimentation, self-education thing that the Commodore 64 was kind of a cool thing to learn to program on. So he wrote this. And it's been a, you know, big, long labor of love, and it's this fairly ambitious operating system project. But the guy's also diagnosed schizophrenic, struggles with his mental illness. That's been a big part of how his interactions with sort of programming and web communities have played out, because that has created a lot of, you know, tension and sort of weird interactions or not so successful community interactions. So there's a post
with other
about,
communities before he even came to Metafilter.
Yeah, like Hacker News, Reddit, a couple other places, OS Dev, which is a big operating systems development community. So DMD made a post about his operating system, and then fairly quickly he must have just noticed the traffic because he signed up and started commenting.
And then that got called out in MetaTalk.
Yeah, in MetaTalk. And so it became this like pair of parallel conversations with and about this guy. And it's kind of weird because like it's a tricky thing where it really highlights that thing where on the one hand, this guy is, you know, dealing with mental illness. And I don't feel like we even got him on a particularly good day as far as that goes. He seemed like he was not necessarily being super lucid all the time when he was on the site. But at the same time, he was responding to people, and it went okay when people were sort of taking it as a, hey, let's talk about this tech you're doing. And it went not so okay when it was like more on the weird side or him just talking to the room because there was a lull or something. But it was really kind of fascinating. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's like the alternative to sort of trying to make this sort of thing work would be to sort of say people who are being weird can't, you know, discuss stuff on the site. And, you know, it's all really weird and complicated stuff.
And it became an interesting meta discussion. And we kind of gave him a timeout when he was not really kind of hewing back to talking to people. But then he came back and we went through that cycle one more time, but now he's around or not around or who knows.
I think he's still around. He's gotten a little bit quiet. He's not pasting random word dumps into threads. So
good.
So yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that whole thing was fascinating if also sort of a little stressful and kind of a lot of work from a community management side.
Yes.
And
yes,
the OS exactly. itself is really neat, and people were playing and trying to get it running. You know, it can be a little bit tricky to get it working for various technical reasons in emulation layers, but yeah, it's actually a really cool project he's put together. So anyway, that was a whole big thing.
So why don't we go to the heavy hitters? Like, what are our best?
I've got more stuff.
I have more stuff.
Dude, we've been going 1 hour.
Okay, well,
like,
we
went to the bathroom.
we can start doing like
lightning round.
I mean, we can do lightning round for a couple other.
Yeah, let's elevator pitch the rest of the also ran stuff.
Let me put a.
All right, I enjoyed Griffiths' thing about generating polygons, feeding them into a face detector, mutating them to see if they get better in the face detector, and eventually getting a totally mutated polygon that looks kind of like a face.
This is fantastic. I totally did not see that. I am favoriting it now, and
thread.
I will go back to that because that is, if I had known that it was there, then maybe it would be on my list.
That was pretty cool.
And the person who made it. Is actually in the thread, which is the part that somehow I didn't notice.
I just noticed their Tumblr said, oh, hey, I didn't make this. Somebody else made it, but then I guess that guy found it. Cool.
You know, and that reminds me of there was a, I wouldn't even know how to search for this, but there was a thing a while back, a programming project, I want to say years ago, where someone was figuring out how to evolve a good depiction of a high resolution picture using just a small collection of polygons. So it would start with the original picture and it would throw a bunch of random colored and shaped triangles onto a canvas and see how much it looked like the actual target image by comparing pixel per pixel. And then it would evolve a bunch of random children of that, and whichever version looked more like the target image would then breed. It was like an evolution, like a genetic programming thing. And they got to the point where they were creating fairly reliable sort of blurry versions of art pieces out of, like, you know, 20 or 30 polygons, like transparent colored triangles overlapping with each other, which is sort of the same sort of spirit thing. But God, I had no idea how to... I know there was like a... One of the examples was the Mona Lisa that they used, but I don't know... I don't know how I'd find that. But anyway, that reminds me of
so
that.
So much for the lightning round.
Yep, sorry. Okay, I'll... okay,
that what you said wasn't interesting.
My winner for the category of best live blog thread about putting a fucking car on Mars is the thread about Curiosity on Mars by Igor83 made the post. And yeah, totally, it was totally just everybody live blogging, and it's not really something that works normally for Metafilter, but every once in a while, yeah, we put a fucking car on Mars.
Well, and it was one of those really interesting things because there had been an earlier Gigantor post by D.D. Beck, which was great, which was like a backgrounder so that when Igor83 did his, some people were like, rawr, there's already a post, but other people were like, this is where we bullshit about it. The other one is serious business. And I think together they fit together really well.
Yeah, you got sort of like the encyclopedia post, and then you've got the crazy random AOL chat room, sort of the two sides of the coin there.
Right, Bobak Ferdowski, whoo!
Yay, Bobak.
Should I go over my favorites? I don't know.
I have one more medium favorite.
Okay.
Which is just the images from SF conventions of the past.
Oh yeah, wasn't that just from a couple
just,
days ago?
Neat.
Oh no, first day. Okay.
No. It was from the 1st of August. It was my first favorite. But it was basically, you know, one of the things about cons, generally speaking, is people have always dressed up and they've always taken lots of pictures of each other. And so basically this is like a couple random photos and a couple sets of photos from the Mid-American Fan Photo Archive that have, you know, some old sets of photos from, you know, the Hugos from 1957, for example. And so now when we're like bitching on io9 about the Hugos aren't being live streamed, if you look at the crazy photos from like 1957, you know, when Arthur C. Clarke was like a young man and everybody wore suits and there's like 20 people there, it's just really, I don't know, I like, one of the things I like about SF is the big tradition of, you know, the fact that people have been doing this kind of stuff forever, for like fanzines and all the stuff, and so it just made me happy.
When was Slave Leia? Was that like 81, I guess? With
Trek was in 81.
Star Wars, sorry.
Because
like, how is this possible to be in LA in 1980? This one photo I'm showing you, it's like, it almost looks like a Slave Leia outfit and some sci-fi guy.
Well, it goes like, you know, your Conan and, you know, Boris Vallejo stuff. There's definitely prior art for women standing around in bikinis.
Yeah.
Right. Everything old is new again.
Was not actually Lucas who came up with that one.
I love the wallpaper in the photos from 1980. Like, it's just the most glorious, awful hotel wallpaper and carpet I've ever seen in my life. Oh, so great.
Well, I will actually, honest to God, lightning round the rest of my stuff just to get it out there without going on forever. my other custom category picks were best GOP VP pick thread that, while being very long, isn't nearly as long as the Palin thread, a.k.a. the best attempt to make a decent post, even though, you know, nobody's going to read the damn links on this one, because come on, which was Romney's Paul Ryan as Romney's running mate post.
I loved this post.
It was very nicely put together. It was like unnecessarily nicely put together.
And that was probably like the third attempt or something.
Probably,
we delete a couple?
Yeah, I think we did.
Was
it?
I don't. know if we...
Or did he get out in front of that? I feel like we deleted a couple dumb, like, hey, Paul Ryan, what do you know?
There was. And someone was super pissed off about it, I remember. It's 5 a.m. How dare you not put this up?
Well, you know what it is? I remember now. It's because the announcement had not been made, but it had been sort of leaked, but it wasn't super clear. And then it was beginning more confirmed that the leak was true. But it was still just like dumb, hey, that's the news post. And then so we knocked
this
those down.
This fucking guy.
Yeah, between then, midnight and 5 a.m., it was still rumor.
And then Rami made the post, I think, while it was still technically rumor, but it was like, this is actually a good post. This is not a problem of someone jumping a gun. This is, seriously, this was someone put in some work. So, okay.
Well, and to hear him talk about it, he said he had kind of one in the wings. I don't remember if we actually spoke to him about it or we just kind of knew this. But
I think he emailed us and said, hey, hold off. I'm almost done with a crazy post.
Was that what he said? I thought he was more like, hey, is this okay, even though it's not 100% official, but I do have this good post, blah.
Well, I was probably reading at bedside at like 5 in the morning, so I was just like, oh, yeah, the gist of it is, hey, there's going to be a good one, so let's just wait.
Another post that I thought was awesome was the Super
Mario
Brothers.
Oh, the Paul Ryan situation. Sorry, go on.
Oh, yeah. So someone has been doing as a programming thing, adapting... Super Mario Brothers, the original, as a 2600 game for the Atari.
Can you explain what this means to those of us with?
Okay, so Super Mario Brothers came out on the Nintendo Entertainment System in like 1985, 1986, and people are probably generally familiar with the concept of Super Mario Brothers and the original game, which was actually really nice looking at the time for a home console. That's part of why the NES did so well, is because, well, this was great compared to, like, you remember the 2600, like,
blocky. It was awful.
Yeah, really crappy blocky graphics, you know, very limited hardware. So some guy is just for the hell of it trying to sort of adapt Super Mario Brothers to the actual 2600 hardware. Which is
thank you. Oh, I'm looking. Okay, okay.
And it's very blocky. It's very stripped down, but at the same time, it works. And so, yeah, it's just great to read about the process of like if you were going to try and remake 2001 using nothing but like a Betamax camcorder and a couple of lampshades. You know, it's like you know you aren't going to recreate it, but you can do your best to find sort of the soul of the thing and you know. Create this, you know, very stripped down, very constrained remake. So I thought that was super awesome.
This is another post by Griffiths too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you pronounce it that way.
Griffiths. I say Griffiths. I think we say this every time. Yeah. We should ask him.
Really.
The worst part is we probably had this conversation. He then showed up in a podcast right about it. And said, "Oh yeah, I say it this way," and they were like, "Oh okay, that's great."
And now, we were just like, "Whatever, we don't care."
Yeah, we don't actually want to know. We just want to talk about ourselves.
I'm pretty sure I know that Raumi is like that and not like Naomi.
Yeah. No, I remember that one. Yeah, because I think Raumi. That may have been news to Raumi that we all thought his name was pronounced like Naomi. Because it was probably a previous like podcast thread and yeah. The other one thing that I have to mention is a post by someone, a sock puppet. So yeah, presumably a sock puppet, but a post about the women of the Lawrence Welk show. And the amazing thing about this is like, it's twofold. Part of it is that it got everybody talking about their weird childhood memories of Lawrence Welk and sort of the context of that. And then on the flip side, the website itself is just kind of amazing because it's like 1995 looking website, you know, to the point where you would think it was designed that way as a joke, but I'm guessing probably not. I think it's just actually the Lawrence Welkiest fucking website you ever saw. And it's like all the women who were on Lawrence Welk with like sort of bio write-ups about them that all seem a little bit vague on the details in some cases. And basically they ended up happily married, or maybe we don't know what happened with their relationship because there's nobody, you know, there's no tales of maybe unchristian woe showing up in these bios or anything like that. So the whole thing is weird, but it's kind of fascinating.
I mean, especially because these things, even though, I mean, I don't know how long Lawrence Welk, like, this era was on the air, but, like, you still have, like, Saturday Night. What?
It's still on. It's so weird.
Do they just have, like, random people standing in for Lawrence Welk?
No,
or is it just syndication?
Replay it, like, every Saturday night, what, like, 6 to 8 or something on my local, like, OPB?
Oh, I bet. It'll keep getting
like,
rebroadcast forever.
But, like, Saturday Night Live does, like, a Lawrence Welk send up, which to me is funny because this was such like one tiny TV show when I was a kid. But yeah, I guess it still resonates with, you know, some set of people, and this website is fascinating.
It's really great.
It's pretty awesome. It's like a museum piece.
And it's also like, what is the word I'm thinking? Like, it's so non-ironic.
Sincere is the word you're looking for now.
Totally. I'm so used to being ironic about everything.
I don't remember the word for not being like that is.
It's like 100% sincere, and you read the bios of the women, and it's like it was written by a writer who writes the Parade magazine in the Sunday paper. Just so like glowing, and this person's in their 80s. They've been happily married for 40 years. Their child graduated college. Like, it's so awesome. So weird.
Awesome.
Well, that's all of my Just Because also ran awards. So. If you guys want to move on, I'm now, prepared spiritually to do so.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I can deal now. I can let it proceed. I don't have any more posts about farts.
I've only got two more posts I sort of want to mention that are both my sort of contenders. Matt, would you like to?
I'll go from silly to awesome. I don't know. Here, I love the. The lottery simulator one, just because in Oregon, lottery's a big deal. I wish it wasn't. It's super annoying.
It's a regressive tax on the poor, you know.
Exactly. And whatever, tax on people who are bad at math is always the running joke. So you basically run this library. You run this lottery generator, and it basically runs like six random numbers, like in milliseconds. Thousands of times, like you just let it run. It's just like week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you can sit there and watch for the equivalent of, let's say you bought a $1 ticket every Saturday for 10 years, and you'll figure out that like you never win anything. You always lose.
Right.
Like,
it's a simulator of your lack of winning.
Yeah. And like I'm driving around, I see these billboards for, 80 million, 200 million, 300 million. And there's lottery signs all over Oregon. They claim it, helps our schools, but it's so sad, It's
well, and they always reduce the education budget by however much it's supplemented by the lottery anyhow. So yeah. It's a giant scam.
And then every bar here is basically a gambling hall because they have this weird like Keno version where you just drink and smoke and like stare at numbers and piss away money. So like it's just really everything about it is ugly. And this is like awesome. Like the lottery sucks because math, here's the answer. Like yep. It just shows you'll never win anything. And my parents are like crazy gamblers who wasted lots of money on this their whole lives, and they think
I thought they bought orange crate labels.
They did lots of stupid things to piss away money. It says the guy with his eighth bike purchased this week.
Wait, I want to, every time you buy a bike, Matt, either I want to raise or I want you to give a bike away to a kid somewhere.
Yeah, I usually give them away to someone, so yeah.
I want to see a picture of that also.
There's like, there was a happy young woman who got like my wife's old bike. Yeah.
Wait, you buy a bike so your wife has to give a bike away?
No, I got her a new bike and then her old bike went to like a 14-year-old kid who wanted to race, so yeah.
Nice. And your new bike is attractive.
Let me see. So there's that. I love that one. I guess all the rest of my favorites are all these mega like encyclopedia posts.
Well, mega encyclopedia posts was one of our categories back when we had structure in our lives.
The Great Big C post from...
Was that Zark?
Zark, yeah. I remember seeing Great Big C open for someone I really wanted to see. I'd never heard of these guys. I like casually show up to a concert and they're wailing away. And it was like, I like them better than, I don't even remember who I went to see. Maybe it was probably early 90s. I don't even remember what their big song was, but I loved them ever since then. And this is like an encyclopedia post about every awesome video. There's official videos.
Oh, sorry. It has this wonderful comment by Item, which just says, I don't care how big it is, Zark, but just who the hell is going to pay my physical therapy bills after the inevitable 15 straight hours of river dancing I'm about to undertake.
Yeah, they were kind of like the hipster version of what Northern Ireland or Scotland or wherever they're from. Like, yeah, it's just like vaguely from over there stuff. But yeah, it was good stuff. The mega beer post was amazing. Who did that? Flex? No, A Man of Twists and Turns. Like, this is a mega post on craft beer and how craft beer was like something from the Great Recession.
You realize they're from Canada, Matt, and they're not from Ireland or Scotland.
Who? Great Big Sea? Oh, that's right. Newfoundland. I think they're from Newfoundland.
It's the Ireland of Canada.
Shut up. So far up there. I forgot there were Newfies.
Just saying.
I literally have not thought about them since like 1999 or so. So when that post came up, I was like, oh my God, that thing I saw in college, that band. So yeah, I really love that post. Yeah, mega beer post, Camel Core post. That was amazing. I think that's Filthy White Thief.
Camel Core was one of my favorites. This was a terrific compendium of original essay post with lots and lots of links by Filthy Light Thief talking about the U.S. Camel Corps, the short-lived experiment by the U.S. Army before the Civil War.
I love the idea of everything in the prehistory of America when they go to anything to deal with animals when there's a problem. Oh, yeah, let's just disband it and let them run wild. Like, that's just always a thing people
right.
do.
Right, we'll just let the zebras run around San Simeon, and if they right. live, they live.
Hey, well, like, I want birds from Shakespeare. Let's release starlings in Central Park. Like, all the stupid things that were done in America.
Well, your alternative is like, hey, let's shoot them all in the head, right? I mean, it's you've set yourself up for a complicated situation as soon as you start collecting.
Home.
I guess.
I also liked on the Filthy Light Thief is awesome tangent, the Ishii, the last of the Yahi of two worlds and in three centuries, talking about this guy who was in California, Native American, kind of lived in the so-called wild and then got kind of bizarrely captured, and it was just a terrible I have a book about Ishii in my nightstand, and you know, he had tuberculosis and blah blah blah, his brain was lost until 1999. They repatriated his remains in 2000. It's actually and it was very like a very well documented. The book that Filthy Light Thief talks about at the bottom is one that I'm working my way through. It's very interesting, but the post was terrific and taught me a few things I didn't actually know about this super sad story.
Whoa.
So
Ursula K. Le Guin's father wrote a book about it. Wow.
This is
one of my favorites too. It was pretty cool. What other mega favorites?
Well, the only one that I have left is the, you know, I would go to bat for this as my favorite of all the posts. So I don't know if you're at that point yet.
Oh, the Church of the Subgenius?
No, it's a high weirdness by mail post. It just happens to be.
Yeah, it sort of leads with that. That is also I am batting
it was
for
so
that
much
one hard too.
Josh, you know what that means? We have enough votes.
Yay! You're overruled, man.
It doesn't
you're
matter
out of here.
What you think, Matt. The Electoral College has spoken.
Hey, I'm Ohio. Come on.
I love America.
I'm Florida. You have to campaign for me.
Hey,
but basically, this hit a very specific button.
Scenes.
Like a book that came out in 1988, which was just when I was in college, which was the perfect time, that was all about like crazy shit you could get in the mail. Books, zines, you know, and some of it was weird, like flat earth stuff and whatever, and the Raelians and a battle cry of aggressive Christianity, Jimmy Swagger gift catalog. But some of it was like the amok stuff and environmentalist stuff and how to get money and disappear and the Weekly World News kind of stuff. And basically what Jay Harris did was took the book as a jumping off point and then kind of took the book as a jumping off point and then made a post that was where he found links to the things that each chapter was about, if that makes sense. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
He copied, you know, the little descriptors of what the different chapters were, but then found links where you could go read more about them. It was amazing, and it was amazing specifically for, you know, weirdos like myself who all remember this, and so it made a lot of people really happy.
Well, yeah, it was great because I liked what Jay Harris did with it because it's not just like here is a copy of a bunch of the capsule text from this book. It's more like here is a summary of sort of what was going on with the capsule text on some of these, and him looking not just at the specific entries in the book, but also looking at sort of Ivan Stang's apparent attitude towards these things, because it's all kook lit, you know, of under a very big tent of nutty literature of all sorts of things. But, you know, Stang was the guy who, you know, started Church of Sub-Jesus, so he's kind of an odd guy, and on the one hand, a lot of deliberate humor there, but also kind of just a little bit of an odd guy. So, you know, some of the stuff that you might look and say, wow, that's crazy. It's like, yeah, but maybe they're onto something. You know, maybe this perpetual motion machine actually, it's like interesting his character as part of it.
It's in the spirit of exploration. It's not the look at these assholes kinds of things, but it's also not, you know, wake up sheeple. Like, yeah. Like it's just a lot
it's more
of
like,
weird
here's,
stuff.
Here's a map of weirdness. Like, you know,
yes.
If you would like to navigate these waters, you know, here is where you start, you know, without making any judgment one way or the other about the, you know, the merits of that particular journey. It's just like, this is a goddamn resource, you know, for the world of weird.
Yes. And I thought it was terrific and it made me happy. And I go back to it to like click around and see what else I might want to learn about. A lot of these books were sort of important to me becoming me during this sort of late 80s period of my life. And so it was great to get to sort of revisit them now that I'm a, you know, middle-aged lady with a job. We've lost Matt.
Oh, no. Yes, I
agree. He's just being contemplative. He's being
I'm looking through the popularist favorites list and going like, is there anything I totally missed? Because, yeah.
Well, there's stuff that I saw but really didn't dig into at all. So it's like not that they were bad posts, but they just aren't on my list because, you know, I only had so much time. And
yeah.
And
I was on vacation for a good chunk of the month and, you know, checked back on this stuff, but it's possible something got through my...
And realistically, I mean, that's sort of the nature of this whole thing. I mean, we're not doing some sort of, like, you know, scientific, you know, attempt to, you know, survey and rate the posts of the month. You know, we're looking at, hey, let's look at a bunch of great posts. And, yeah, nobody read the whole site, you know, so everybody missed stuff. And I kind of like that we've got this loosey-goosey sort of like the things that we didn't miss collectively.
And Matt has a list of Jeremy and Taz's things that they liked for whatever their wacky honorable mentions will be.
Oh, excellent.
Well, I have just Taz's favorite post, and it's this one, Divine Lorraine, about crazy apartments in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just from a couple days ago by J. Rossi 4R. What is that? Jay Rossier? I don't know what...
I've always read it in my head as Jay Rossier.
But, except he lives in apartment 4R. She lives in apartment 4R.
Yeah.
Forget
I don't
it.
Know.
Don't even ask me.
Yeah.
I've
like
just always
3G,
read it and never
you know?
Thought about it. Say again?
It's
sorry.
Like, it's like apartment 3G with, you know, Margot and Luann and Tommy. And
that was the worst comic strip.
It's still going. It's still actively going.
It'll never
oh, I'm
end.
Sorry. That is the worst comic
no,
strip.
No. Mary Worth is the worst.
I get them confused.
We need to do a comics podcast again.
Clearly, we're overdue for episode 2.
We got so much fodder here.
But didn't Jeremy send you the ones that Restless Nomad
no,
sent you?
No. I thought Jeremy was going to join us on the podcast today. So.
Oh, except when she said I'm around, that means she's going to work for us.
Yeah, she's covering for us so that I'm not just being completely terrible.
Hey, when are we going to meet for the podcast? And she's like, don't forget I'm around. I was like, okay.
No, she's just dutifully keeping things from melting so we can have
And she just got back from the conference because she took the weekend off this weekend too. So
yeah.
I think she's enjoying the slightly zombie downtime, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure she'll post on the thread, I guess, her favorites.
Yeah. Well, I obviously big fan of that high weirdness post. Another one that I liked that was more on sort of like structurally the sort of multi-link side, but not mega post, was this post about the British space program.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, this was
by Garius.
Yeah. And it starts with, you know, it's one of those things.
I'm
that,
sorry,
like,
you should say what it is because I've been reading it.
It's a story of the history of the British space program, which you may not have heard a whole lot about because there, I guess, wasn't a whole lot of British space program compared to some of the other national space programs. But it starts, the above the fold of it is just a little capsule of the about Operation Backfire, which would have been a fine post on its own. Like, you know, it's sort of like the equivalent to the American Operation Paperclip, which was World War II is over. A bunch of crazy science got done as part of this whole war thing. The Germans lost. Let's go find out how they made their rockets and, like, you know, basically repatriate that, you know,
knowledge,
body of knowledge. So you had the U.S. doing that. You had the U.K. doing that, apparently, you know, somewhat in conflict with each other at times. But yeah, that was the setup for Britain eventually, like, designing some rockets and actually putting a satellite named Prospero up into orbit around the Earth. And they launched that, like, it's a terrible sort of series of setbacks and things not working, but they finally, you know, the program's being canceled, but they successfully finally launch this satellite. And that was, like, the day they, you know, became, you know, part of the small handful of countries that have launched satellites, and also the day that their space program ended because it was still canceled. Put a satellite in space, okay, fine, but we're still canceling the space program.
And
so that was the end of it.
The satellite is still up there.
Yeah,
moving around with
a broken tape recorder.
But so anyway, batteries still work, and they used to fire her up on her birthday. But they tried to wake her up for her anniversary last year, and her activation codes have been lost, and she's never going to make any noise again.
Yep.
That may beep. Be my second favorite post, actually.
Beep, beep, beep. Just, like,
oh my
sadly
God.
Beeping.
Oh my God.
No,
it's
one.
So ground control to Major Tom. It's amazing.
Yeah. Except there isn't, like, a dead monkey trapped inside of it. I went through every post like a fine-tooth comb, and I missed this probably because the end of the month, and I was getting tired.
Well, and there was just so much, you know.
Yeah, like on the 1st and on the 30th, 31st, like there's a billion posts on, like, the bookends of the month. Like, I think people are starting off strong and ending strong. So top three, we're gonna go with the crazy high weirdness as the winner. Grand
it's not
prize
crazy,
winner.
It's just weird.
Okay, it's weird. Really high. It's high weirdness, you know?
How do we pick the next second best post and third best post?
Well, we could talk about the ones we liked the most, I guess. Yeah. Like we've mentioned all
I
the ones
that
were on
one.
My short list. Like, I thought the Empire of the Stars one was great. I as far as, like, single link YouTube posts even, I really loved that one about the games people play, because I thought that was a great little video. It was, you know, totally just some guy doing a thing that he thought was great. He made this charming video. Turns out he's a Metafilter member, but that wasn't even in the post. People had a great time in the thread talking about, you know, that moment we were talking about with the whole where you realize that it's not just you, everybody did these things. So I thought that was really charming. Those are my three favorites.
Whose post was that?
That was by Christ What an Asshole, actually.
Really?
Yep.
Well, so, like, Filthy Light Thief had two or three good posts, had the Ishii one. What was the other one I loved? I guess
Camel Corps, right?
What was the other one? Was it? Yeah.
Camel Corps. Camel
Corps. Yes, that's right.
Camel Corps.
You said it so fast, I'm like, kettle corn? Like, why are you talking about kettle corn?
There were no, like, amazing cooking posts that I recall, at least this month, and those are usually good pandering posts that pick up a lot of favorites. But I also like the Games People Play one a lot, and I also would just give, Filthy Light Thief a twofer if we can for his... you know, consistently good for the month of August, because he made a couple other posts. I mean, he was knocking it out of the park
day
all
after
month,
day
honestly.
After day. Yeah, yeah.
The Tangerine Dream video post was kind of amazing.
Right.
I mean, I'm just like looking. He did the library post, which was, you know, again, like, I feel like there's one post that he did for every single one of us.
Oh God, I had this on my short list. The like Filthy Life did a post on just a like time lapse video of Icelandic landscapes. It's just
like I said, time lapse
pans with like amazing music playing on Vimeo full screen. I was watching that all day long. Like, it was really good. So maybe second place to Filthy Light Thief for maybe the Ishii post or the Camel post.
Or both. Can we?
Yeah. Sure, we can make up our own rules.
Month time achievement award for the...
Yeah, and then third one for the games people play, or if you want to...
Yeah, and then
we can each give one individual, you know, this is my personal pick or whatever.
Favorite
just, you
wacky
know.
Thing.
We'll send you a postcard kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, come right, on, finally. Act excited. It's cool.
We're at an hour and a half of recording. So happy to be done at this point. So, yes. Congratulations to...
Jay Harris. Filthy Light Thief.
And Christ, what an asshole.
What an asshole. Special greatest. Thanks to, you know, the number of runners-up that we will be mentioning in the thread. And thank you, everybody, for making the month so interesting and terrific.
And thanks for, you know, sticking around after the month and continuing to, you know, post stuff anyway. Because, hey, that's what we do, right?
Right.
That's Metafilter.
Right.
Every month is a great post contest. We just don't always award the prizes.
Right.
All right. Should we call it?
All right. Yes.
Call it.
And we'll do a normal podcast sometime less than 2 months from now about everything else.
Yep.